has become intertwined in our society. It's been around, at least in the way that we talk about it in the modern society, about 15 years. Broadly defined, social media is media disseminated through social interaction. The most basic form of it is a search engine. But that's not really what we call social media today, although that's indeed meets the definition. But it's what's come about through what's called Web 2.0. That's the second phase of the internet. And that's more integration with individual and individual social interaction. Some examples of this, for example, the email group we have here is a congregation where individuals can send an email. It's automatically sent out to individuals. That's an example of social media. Brethren Online, I suppose some of you are members of that email group. It's of brethren throughout the world. It's a very good group and lets you know of dire needs or severe illnesses or individuals near death, things such as that, for prayers and other things like that. Social networking like Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and Blogger, these are all social media. And of collaboration, Wikipedia is one of those. Of course, Facebook.com is the number one social networking site. It's ranked number two as far as the busiest websites by Alexia. And it's only behind Google. Stats of just a few days ago, more than 400 million active users, half log on every day. Most people, the average user, have 130 friends, and people spend over 500 billion minutes per month on Facebook. Google Wave, if you've not checked that out, you might want to check that out. That's probably the next big thing that's going to be happening in social networking. And already corporations and schools are involved with online collaboration, so that's where things are going. Social media, in my opinion, is like the telephone and the TV and the computer. Everyone who wants to work or communicate in the most basic way are going to have to be involved with social media. I remember with my dad. He started working with Levi Strauss. There were no computers, and everything was done by hand. And before he retired, he had a computer sitting on his desk, and he would put in orders and cancel orders and all such of things like that with the computer. Now, I've recently got into the social media. I was sort of pushed into it. On a personal level, to keep up with my kids and grandkids and things like that. But on a professional level, you know, it's the way we communicate with people nowadays. And so with my evangelistic website, BibleStudyGuide.org, I've got a newsletter through the Yahoo group. I've got an RSS news feed. I've got two different podcasts. And recently I've improved my search engine. I've started a Facebook group, and I've even got share buttons now. You know, and that's where things are and where things are going. And so I figured I better get with that program. As with everything, social media is a gift from God. But it's our responsibility to use it properly to the glory of God. So this lesson is about being responsible with social media. And I want to say right now, I'm not advocating anyone using it, that you've got to use it. It's a matter of choice. But those who are involved with it as Christians have a responsibility to use it as God would have us do. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is that social media can be used both for good and evil. And I want to use, as we've already read this morning, as an example from Romans chapter 7, in verses 12 and 13, that even the law, the Mosaic law, can be used for good or for bad. And here, as Jason has already read, I just want to get to the end of that reading. In verse 12, "So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore did that which is good become a cause of death for me, may it never be, rather it was sin." And so the problem was not with the law, but it was sin. The law in and of itself is good, but because of sin, some used it for an evil thing. Also today, many good things are used as evil things. For example, the printing press. Some use it to print the Bible, others use it for pornography. It's used for good and bad. The telephone, we can use it for Bible studies, or we can use it to gossip. A gun can be used to kill animals for food or to murder someone. The Bible can be rightly divided to teach truth or twisted to teach error. We as Christians, we must stay alert and on guard regarding everything, including social media, because it can be used for good or it can be used for evil. Go with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 Timothy 4, 4. And I want us to notice what Paul says to Timothy, specifically talking here about food. He says, "For everything created by God is good." That's the basic principle. That if God has created it, it has a good purpose because it comes from God. And certainly this is applicable for social media. And go back just a few verses to chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. And he says, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." So the law, the Mosaic law, it's got good purposes. But if one uses it unlawfully, it becomes that which is evil. So it's up to us to use that which God has created, everything God has created, for good to His glory. Now, social media is being used for good. It's being used for good in the kingdom. Our email group, it's a very good thing. Helps us stay in contact throughout the week. And of those things which are pressing, it makes it easy to communicate, to send out information, lesson outlines, whatever it may be. It's a very good thing. Brethren online, very good, staying in touch. People are able to pray for others that they would never know about, those all over the world. BOL, I frequently use BOL to find Bible teachers in places that I would have a very difficult time finding them, even in other parts of the world, even in other countries. It's very valuable and expedites my work as a Bible teacher. And, of course, there are online databases of congregations. Trevor's using one of those. My favorite is goodfight.com. And no longer do you have to have a book. You got to carry it around with you. You got to pay. It's got to be updated. This online database can be constantly updated, and you can get it from any computer that's online. Social media helps us reach people with the gospel. Through these search engines, it's amazing. And I'll use the example of my evangelistic website. The gospel is preached in over 100 countries every month just as a result of search engines, people doing searches and hitting my website. One person contacted me last week with a request to be baptized. And so I was able to go to goodfight.com, find a congregation in Kansas, contact this preacher who now contacts this individual. How is this possible? This is possible. Someone on a search engine looking for something finds my website, goes to the page that says I want to be baptized, clicks on the link, sends me an email, and I then start this communication. A lady, her first name is Reggie, who started this just a few weeks ago, and I connected her with a local preacher, I forget the city right now, has stayed in contact. She's in this process of learning the will of God. She's found out through her study with this individual that she's in an unlawful marriage. She writes me last week, now she's in the process of divorcing her second husband. That's a rough thing to go through. And how did this start? By on a search engine looking up certain things. You want to be baptized, she emails me, I contact somebody else, they get together, they study the Bible. She's now learning what sin is all about and beginning to change her life. Social media is very helpful in teaching individuals the gospel. We can either use it for good or use it for evil. For those of you who choose to use social media, and for those parents who choose to allow their children to use social media, as Beth and I have done, we've gone back and forth. When it began in its infancy, we began, and then we asked all the kids to shut down their social sites because the security wasn't quite there yet. And now it is, where you can choose who you have interaction with and everyone else is excluded from that. And so I'm not advocating that you have to do it. It's the choice of the family and the parents to do that. But for those of us who do choose to allow our children to use social media, I want to remind us that as parents we have a responsibility to teach them. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 just to look at the passage, although I know you're very familiar with it. But God commands, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction," or admonition and training, of the Lord. So parents, to me, that says, number one, I've got to know something about social media if I'm going to allow my children to do it. That I have to be familiar with it, that I have to be knowledgeable about it, that I have to know how to use it and how it works so that I can then teach them how to do that. Now, young folks, I want you to look at your Bibles with me. In this same chapter, chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3, and I want to remind you of something that's going to be very difficult for you now with social media. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And they may say, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to be on this site. It may be, as I asked our children to do some time ago, I want you to shut down all your social media sites because the security is not such to protect you. And then when it was in place, they started them back up. But children, I want to remind you to obey your parents. And remember what the Bible says, honor your father and mother, which would include obeying them in respect to social media and your interaction on the internet, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And young folks understand this, especially those of you who are a little younger, that you're not as wise as your parents. You've not been around the block as much as your parents. And there are people out there doing very vile and evil things. I read through a list of them, of news stories, of things that have happened to young people, the deception that's gone on, and they're so bad I chose not even to read the titles of the stories of 13 and 14 and 15-year-old boys and girls being convinced to go meet someone somewhere and to be abducted, and then all sorts of vile things happens to them, and it began with social media. So young folks, you're not as smart as your parents. You've not been around the block as often as your parents. Obey the rules they set down for you so that it will be well with you and you'll have a long life. If not, unfortunately, you may be one of those who have been deceived by some of these evil people. You know what needs to be taught regarding use of the internet and social media. Such things as keeping your personal information private and using search engines safely and using the filters that are built on to add the right people and to delete people that are being irresponsible, to be able to detect crime and protect yourself from stalkers. And parents, this is one I found to be just personally a very good one, is monitor and watch. You know, sometimes even one of the girls will leave up their Facebook account or they won't log off, and I'll go on there and their page will come up and say, well, I have no problem looking and reading the posts. No problem clicking on the pictures and doing all this stuff like that. I mean, I've got no problem doing that. That is my responsibility. They are in my home, and I've set forth the rules on using that. As parents, it's our job to train. As children, it's your job to obey your parents. Social media is a reflection on who you are. By the way, Dawn gave me the suggestion on parents. I thought that was very good. Here we've got a 17-year-old giving us a suggestion. Parents, you need to train your children. And Andrea gave me this one. It is a reflection of who you are. And just interesting, I went to check a lot of people out in the congregation. I just went to Google. I was just doing Google searches. I was looking up your media, social media sites. No, I wasn't logged in. You don't have to be logged in. A lot of you, I can see your pictures. I can see your friends. I can see your likes. I can see your dislikes. And just like mine. Now, I thought about just getting a lot of people in the congregation and putting your Facebook page up here, because it's public information for everybody in the world. This is what it looks like when you're not logged in. And you can see a picture of me. You can see whether I look like I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy. You can see if I got a good-looking wife or not a good-looking wife. Unfortunately, I got a good-looking one. And you can see some of our friends. You can see my niece here when she got married. You can see that Scott Love family. I'm thinking about deleting that. You know, no, I'm just teasing. You can see them, and you can see David West and Irene Mullins, a friend when we were in Georgia. You can see those Warners. You got to look out for them. Elizabeth Mean used to go to church here. And that Melanie Stewart Trask and her family, you got to look out there for them. You know. So you can see things, and it was interesting. I looked up a lot of you. Mike Matthews, yours was hard to get to, but I finally got to it. Now, I looked up a lot of you, and I looked up a lot of your some of your family members and things. I looked up some of the kids here. I thought about, boy, wouldn't it be interesting just to flash a lot of those up here, but I decided not to be mean. But you can see what it tells about, and it says Alan McNabb likes. And you can see my likes there. Those are the groups that I've joined. And I've got to talk about Andrea for a second, because when you pull hers up through a Google search, not logged in on Facebook, Andrea McNabb likes, the first thing says the Bible. I like that, Andrea. And I don't know, I've not got a lot into Facebook. I don't know how to get all these likes and dislikes, you know, but I think I need to go and find out how to put that one in there so that when people come to me and look at me, they see that I like the Bible. So it's a reflection on who you are. And I tell you what, you know, when somebody looks, you know, they might pull up my page. Now I'm a reflection on you, Melanie, and your family, and Scott and his family, and the Warners, you know. I'm a reflection on you. So be careful who you have reflecting on you. God's laws apply to everything. And they apply to our online activities. But, you know, turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 7. We were over there earlier in our Bible class, in the adult class. And Matthew 7, and beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And let me tell you something, we are known by our fruits. And a great deal of our fruits is what we are communicating to people. And a lot of times, this idea with social media and the internet in general is the rules of everyday life and society don't apply to that. But they do. All of God's laws apply in every situation. Colossians 3:17, "Do all in the name of Jesus Christ." The words we use, the thoughts we express, the ideas, the feelings of anger and those things, all must be according to God's Word. Interaction between male and female, whether we're online or in person, the law is the same. Pretending to be someone we're not, that's a lie. That's wrong, as some do with these dating sites. Pornography on the internet is just as wrong as pornography, any other type of pornography. Let me make some suggestions. Matthew 5:14 through 16. "Only say and do the things that glorify God." That's true in person. That's true online. Sometimes one of the kids will have something posted online, and I'll say, "Well, you know, I know what you mean by that, but maybe somebody else doesn't know what you mean by that. Do you think you should change that?" You intend for it to be a good thing. To you, it is a good thing. But for someone else that doesn't know all the context, maybe it has a perception. Maybe it's not a good thing. Glorify God in everything. Romans 15:2, always build people up. Don't tear them down. And this is a big thing with social media, isn't it? Tear people down, cyberbullying, doing things like that. No, that's the wrong thing to do. Romans 13:8-10, always live by the golden rule, that is to love. And 1 Timothy 2:9 and 1 Corinthians 13:5, always be modest and becoming. You know, everything is public on the internet. So sometimes maybe it's supposed to be private, but security fails, firewalls fail, things break down, and those things thought to be private all of a sudden are public, like thousands of people's social security numbers with some bank or something. You know, those things happen quite a bit. So although you put it on there, it's supposed to be private. Know this, figure it out, or at least consider it may be public at some time. And listen, there are some things that are okay privately that aren't okay publicly. Those private things should never be on the internet. Even if you're just connected with your friends, firewalls break down, security fail, it could be public to everyone. You never know if one of your friends is going to copy something and post it on something that's public rather than private. Private things just keep off the internet. Let me suggest to you that we must be proactive in managing our social networking sites. That's our responsibility as Christians, not to just let it go, to not deal with it, not check it, see who's posted stuff, because our name is attached to all of that. If we're not going to manage it, we shouldn't do it. We should just shut it down, start it up another time when you're going to manage it. We may have to stop participating with sites that have ads that are just so bad we just can't deal with that. There was one site I was looking at, one of the very famous big sites, to post video Bible lessons, and the ads were so bad, I said, I can't even put the Bible on this thing. It's one of the great big ones. You would all know it if I said the name. And then when I put a video on, the links that it had associated there that you could click and get other videos was like soft porn. I mean, I could not be associated with that at all, even if it is teaching the Word of God. So there may be just some sites, even because of the ads, we just can't be part of that. As I already mentioned, don't post things that might be misconstrued. You know, employers are checking social media sites. And what do you think? Young ladies, if a boy is thinking about asking you out or likes you or thinks he might one day want to date you, do you think he's going to Google you and look you up and check you out? I think so. And young men, it's the same thing with you. I thought about putting the Google search for Jerry Flatt up here. Because before coming here, I Googled the elders and all that, checked into them, checked into Jerry's business, and we were talking on our first face-to-face meeting. He said, wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to be checking you out. I said, well, it's a two-way street. So employers are using this. So don't do things that can be misconstrued. Pick friends carefully. Don't post stuff that makes you look bad or them look bad. You know we're judged by our friends. At school, young folks at school, are you not judged by your friends? Now, don't people walk around saying, oh, you know, but he's friends with so-and-so. You know, that makes him a bad person. Or says she's friends with so-and-so, that makes her a good person. Aren't we judged by our friends? Of course we are. So choose your friends carefully with these sites. Those who would give honor to you and not hurt your influence. You know, and some of these friends may act inappropriately, and you got to be willing to delete them and to get rid of them when they do. Manage your posts that directly affect you. And now there's this thing with tagging on pictures. You know, you could be hanging out with your friends and doing something that's perfectly good. Might be a group of girls over at a swimming pool, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're in private, girls swimming together, whatever. But you know, if one of those friends takes a picture and puts it out in public on the internet, that's a bad thing. So now you've got to watch what you do in private that somebody might get and make public, and you had no intention of making it public. You got to watch out for that. I've seen it happen over and over again. The last suggestion is when someone acts irresponsibly and you're associated in any way, you can't just let it go. Whether they tag you in a picture and it was private and they shouldn't have, whether they say something about you, whatever it may be, you've got to say something about it. And you just can't let it go. And you got to try to get those things out of public view. People know us by our fruits. And certainly by the social media we are involved in. Well, also, let's consider this. Protect yourself against addiction. Because these things are very addictive. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to make this point that all addiction is sinful. And I want to talk about in just a few minutes that these social networking sites are made in such a way to enable addiction. But we must be aware of all addiction, whether it's caffeine, whether it's chocolate, whether it's whatever it is, social media, email, internet, whatever it is a sin. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me. So here the Apostle Paul, in this realm of all things that are lawful, it's all okay, but all things are not profitable. If it's not profitable, he says, I'm not going to do it. And that indeed could be applicable to some things with social media. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, I will not let anything have control over me. And if it does, it's wrong. We need to stop, or our souls are in jeopardy of eternal damnation. All addiction is sinful. Social networking encourages. Now, encourage might be the wrong word. Enables addiction. That might be a better word. Let me ask you this. Why are the numbers of your friends posted on your social networking site? Why is it when you go to a page and you say you like something, that it's going to tell you how many of your friends like it too? Why is that? To try to get you to come and to check out, how many friends do I have? And I guess everybody here has done that. How many friends do I have today? Did I get another friend today? I knew this would happen. I start up the Bible study guide user group, and of course people start signing up. You know, and all of a sudden I'm looking 2, 3, 4 times a day to see how many people I got. You know, and I knew that was going to happen, but you know, the thing is, I got to get off of that kick, because that can become addicting. Why are there these online games? You know, why do they come up with these social networking games, you know? Well, I'll tell you one reason is to sell more advertising. And I'll tell you something, you know, they got this thing with Facebook, and they do something with a game, all of a sudden they start feeding you this information. Sometimes you got a page of what somebody's done with a game, and I'll say to myself, do these people do anything but play games? You know, what are these people doing with their lives? These folks need to get productive with their lives, just not playing all these games. I tell you what, it looks like an addiction with some to me. And I finally learned how to get all of those game posts off of my site, because I don't care if somebody's playing a game or not. You know, and I wish the people playing games would choose the option to only send it to people who are playing the same game, because, you know, everybody else doesn't want to hear about it. You know, if I want to play that game, I choose to play that game. But I got rid of it. But I tell you what, there's some folks I think are addicted to these games. I say all day long, they've been playing a game. Say, get a life, folks. So be careful with addiction. Let me give you some titles of some CNN articles. Addiction to networking sites is growing. CNN. 5 clues that you're addicted to Facebook. That was one article. Therapists report seeing more people with addiction to social networking sites. You know it's getting bad when you start going to a therapist about it. The sites themselves are not the problem. Disconnection from real life is. And the last one I'll share with you. You may be addicted if you lose sleep over Facebook. Obsess over old flames. One of the best ways, let me suggest to you, to avoid addiction with anything is to take a break. You know, take a break. You know, don't log in for a while. You know, take, you know, weekends. Give it a rest on the weekends. Or through the week, don't do anything Monday through Friday. Get on the weekend a little bit. But take breaks with whatever it is. That's the best way to do it. Let me encourage you to do that. If we allow ourselves to become addicted to anything, including social networking, we are sinning and our soul is in jeopardy of eternal damnation. Underscore the seriousness. And it's not because social networking is so bad. It doesn't, not because these sites are bad or anything like that. Just generally the way they're put together and the things. But it's because we allow ourselves to be addicted to it. And we can lose our soul and go to hell just for being addicted to Facebook or MySpace or Twitter. You know, send 1 million Twitters a day or whatever it is. We could go to hell just over that. Well, the final point this morning is nothing is secret. Many in society think they can get away with all sorts of things online as long as it's not real life, and that is not true. Some lie about their identity, some engage in illicit behavior that they should not do, just figuring their family's not going to find it out. It's not true. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, God knows everything. You know, God is always looking over our shoulders. He's always seeing what's going on. He knows those posts that are being made. He knows the things that we are engaged in and will be judged for everything. Even the secret things, Ecclesiastes 12:14. Even those Facebook posts or those pictures or whatever it is, we're going to give an account for each and every one of those things. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And hear the children of Israel as I leave you with this thought. Children of Israel, some of them wanted to stay east of the Jordan River and begin their homes there because they saw the land was so good and so good for their livestock. And Moses said it was their responsibility to go into the promised land and help secure that and defeat those nations. And in exhorting them and admonishing them, he says this in verse 23, But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, that's applicable to everything. But I want to talk about it in respect to this domain, online domain. People think that's so secretive that they can do things and their identity is withheld and it's in private and things such as this. No, your sin will find you out. And what that means is that God knows your sin and He will make sure that you pay for it. That's what it means. When we sin as Christians, we should quickly repent and get back into a right relationship with God before He deals with us and our sin. It may be that God chastises us, Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 13, through a series of events in this life. It may be that something happens online and what's meant to be private becomes public. A young lady, very famous in the recording industry, did that recently, sent a vulgar, lewd picture to her boyfriend, but oh, she pushed the wrong button and it went to everybody. Her sin found her out really, really quick. And it may be that we pay for eternity in hell, but there's one thing we can count on. Our sin will find us out. There is nothing secret. Nothing secret. All things are known by God and will be revealed, even if it's not revealed until the last day. And we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the things, both good and evil, even the private, secret, quote-unquote, things, which never were secret anyway. Let's be encouraged and admonished. Social media, I believe, is a good thing when used right. Parents have a responsibility to train, and children have a responsibility to obey. Social media is a reflection on who we are. Let's protect ourselves from addiction and understand there's no secret thing. Our sin will always find us out. Think about your interaction, if you do have interaction, with social media, and make sure you are glorifying God in all that you do and in this also. We're going to extend the gospel invitation, number 278. Hear the song taken from the story of the prodigal son. And if you're not in a right relationship with God today, the invitation remains. And He is wanting, willing, and pleading through the Scriptures for you to come. Will you not correct your life today? If you're not a Christian believing in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, repenting of your sins, making that good confession, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized for remission of your sins, won't you do that today and begin your new journey as His creation? If we can help you at all, won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing?